He said, I am the light of the world. He said, I am the door. He said, I am the good shepherd. He said, I am the resurrection and the life. And he's going to say, I am the true vine. But tonight, as you stand with me and turn to John chapter 14, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Oh, he is the I am. The I am changes who I am. Can you say amen tonight? The sixth time in John chapter 14, verses 1 through 6, one of the most beloved passages of scripture that we quote and we read, it says, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where that you may be also. And whether I go, you know the way. Whether I go, you know, and the way you know. Thomas saith unto him, Lord, we know not whether thou goest, and how can we know the way? Verse 6, read it out loud. Everybody, verse 6, together. Jesus saith unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by me. Father, anoint the preaching of your word tonight. May I decrease, and may you increase. Speak, Lord, your servant heareth, and we'll give you the praise for the I am. Changes who I am in Jesus' name. And everybody said amen. Turn around and tell somebody to get a life. Amen. Get a life. All right. You may be seated tonight. Get a life. I heard this morning that Sister Joan was in the hospital and I wasn't able to go by and see her and plan to go by and check on her tomorrow. And I look out and I see Brother Bud here tonight. And I'm going to tell you what, that is commitment and dedication. Amen. And we love them and we're praying for her speedy recovery. And everybody said amen. Now, here we are in statement number 6 of the I am statements. And where were we at this moment? Jesus, may I take you back to this time? Jesus was preparing his disciples for his soon departure. We go back, John 14 and 1 is a continuation of John 13. Well, what happened in John 13? We're in the most intimate of moments where Jesus has washed the disciples' feet. And he tells them in that moment to love one another. He also tells them, or tells Peter specifically, of his upcoming trial and failure. And so, please understand the context when we read John 14 and 1. It's such a great, promising, hopeful scripture. But understand when that promise and when that hope was given. I mean, he is about to leave them and he is doing things, washing their feet. He's commanding them to love. Somebody say commanding them to love one another. And he's telling, it had to be stunning. It had to be shocking. It had to be disturbing and a thousand thoughts, and he's about to leave. What's he doing washing our feet? Why is he telling us to love one another? I know these rascals here. I don't really want to talk about loving them right now. And me, I'm going to fail the Lord in three times. Are you kidding me? And they had to be disturbed. And then he says, let not your heart be troubled. How comforting, how reassuring. How uplifting. In other words, I know you're about to go through some tough times. I know it won't be easy for you. I know that you don't understand it all. And I know that maybe I've not answered every question that's on your mind. But let not your hearts be troubled. God is up to something. I'm on the throne. I want you to understand I will forgive your failures. And I command you to love one another because you're all going to fail in some way or another. And I command you to love one another through these failures. And I'll tell you, love will get us through the tough times. Church, faith, love, and unity. We've got to have the hinges for the Holy Ghost to move. We've got to work together. We've got to do it. Faith, unity, and is that right, Pastor? Did I say it right? Love. Turn around and tell somebody, I love you with the love of the Lord tonight. We got to love one another. We're getting ready to go through some tough times in this country. We've got different Democrat presidential candidates who finally have told us exactly what they intend to do. They not only intend to tax the churches, brother, they're going to shut down the churches when we preach the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. But I've got a word from the Lord tonight. He is the I Am. And they survived Rome, and we can survive the Democrats. Glory to God. We can survive the Republicans. We can survive all of hell, the gates of hell, because He's the I Am. Let not your heart be troubled. Give Him praise tonight that we have hope in these distressing times. Somebody say glory. Jesus, look at, this is where that statement comes in. John 14:6. And He says to them in this moment, aren't you glad for that I Am? I'll tell you, we need the I Am. We've got to have a reassurance. I am the bread of life when I'm hungry. I am the door when I'm shut out by others. I am the light of the world in the dark places. Praise God. I'm that good shepherd when you're hurting, and He pours on the oil and the wine. And when you're disturbed and troubled, I am the way and the truth and the life. No man cometh to the Father but by Me. Somebody say amen tonight. That's the 3 points right there. I am the way, I am the truth, and I am the life. So the sixth I Am statement. Number one, I am the way. I'm not some way. I'm not halfway. I'm not your way. I'm not my way. Talking about Ricky Nims. Jesus said, I am the way. I am the door. I am the light. Oh, I'm going to talk about this in the next point. But Buddha is not the way. Muhammad is not the way. Jerry Nelson, as much as we admire and revere our pastor, is not the way. Ricky Nelms is not the way. I want you to know, Jesus is the way. Somebody praise Him. He is the way. Waymaker, miracle worker, light in the darkness, that is who you are. That's another song we're going to learn sometime or another before Jesus returns. But He is the way. Amen. Proverbs 14:12 says this. There is a way which seems right unto man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. Very careful that you're going the right way, that you're headed in the right direction. Now, you might fall a few times, but you need to fall forward, amen, and not fall backwards. Nothing wrong with falling. You just need to fall in the right direction. You know, we tend to get lost. Go back to the I Am the Shepherd, the sheep. We tend to get lost. In fact, let me explain it to you this way. There was a lady whose husband had gone out for a while, and she was home listening to the radio. The announcer came in and told the people a special announcement. Be very, very careful. Someone has gotten onto the wrong side of the highway and was headed north in the southbound lane. Very dangerous. And the announcer was warning those traveling. There's one person headed north, and everybody's supposed to be going south. And she knew her husband was traveling in that area. So she called him on the phone and said, honey, be careful. There's somebody traveling. Are you on the highway? Yes, I'm on the highway. Be careful. Somebody is traveling the wrong way, and you might get hit. And he said, honey, you mean one person's going the wrong way? I'll tell you, sweetie, there's 1,000 people going the wrong way. Oh, sometimes we can get on the wrong way. Oh, look at John 11. John 11:45. This is the very first sermon I ever preached in the pulpit in 1987 when I was 15 years of age. And Lazarus had just been raised from the dead. He had just more than convincing proofs. This man was dead 4 days. Jesus raised him from the dead. And look at John 11:45. Then many of the Jews which came to Mary had seen the things, talking about Lazarus, that Jesus did and believed on him. I'll tell you, when Lazarus was raised from the dead, boy, that settled it for a lot of people. He must be the Son of the living God. Oh, my friend, I got something better than that. Yeah, He raised Lazarus from the dead, but He raised Himself from the dead. And I tell you, a little cherry on the cake, He's going to raise me from the dead, praise God. I'm not believing to receive it. I'm going to receive it. I'm believing it because I'm going to receive it. Say amen. But go to verse 46. But some of them went their ways to the Pharisees. Some of them headed the right way. That was my sermon, my very first sermon. Some of them headed the wrong way on the interstate. And my friend, you got to be careful which way you're going. Drugs and alcohol, you're headed into the wrong way. Well, I think it's okay to socially drink. Well, I don't think it's okay to socially drink because you're headed the wrong way that way. We need to get on the right way. I don't think it's good to do these things. We are a witness to a lost and a dying world. I talked to a man the other day who's been a longtime member of a church and come to find out he and his wife had a divorce and she had left him and he is an older man, very wise man and very educated and a very pillar into the church and talking to him the other day, and he introduced me to his fiance and during the course of the conversation I found out they were living together. They are not yet married, and I thought to myself, my brother, as much as I admire you, as much as you've been a great member, you're going the wrong way. You cannot live together outside of marriage. It is a sin. You must have a marriage commitment and a marriage covenant and a marriage certificate. Ladies, why do you want to stay with a man that don't want to take you to the altar? He's ready to take you to the bedroom. He's not ready to take you to the altar. Something wrong with that picture. My friend, we're headed the wrong way. We need to tell young people, there is a way that seems right, but the end thereof is death. But Jesus said, I am the way and the truth and the life. Somebody give him praise if you're on the way tonight. I'm on my way to Canaan land, glory to God. This world is not my home. I'm just a passing through. Oh, my hope is laid up somewhere beyond the blue. I started on this way back in 1984, and I hadn't got off this way yet. I started on this straight and narrow way, and I don't intend for somebody to knock me out of the way. I got my eyes fixed. I'm headed to Canaan's land. Is anybody with me tonight? Are we on our way to the promises? Are we on our way to glory? Is Westmoreland Church on our way to greater things? If it is, give him praise tonight. He said, I am the way. Amen. A lot of that wasn't in my notes tonight, by the way. I am the way. Don't come up and tell me I've come up with this newfangled religion. He's the way. Don't tell me there's somebody else that can be a savior. No, he's the way. Don't tell me that we don't have to live by the Bible anymore. He's the way. Another man I met the other day, very good man, longtime member of a church, very talented, him and his wife, good people. I mean Christian people, dedicated people. I talked to him and I said, are you coming to church? Where are you going to church now? Where are you a member? Where are you serving? Well, Pastor, we have a church in our house, and we offer our house to those who are hurting, those who get discouraged from going to church. And so we give them a place to come and we minister to them. And you'd be surprised, some people who won't go back to church, but they'll come to our house. I wanted to say, my brother, Satan would never get you with sexual temptation. He'll never get you with drugs or alcohol. The only way he can get you is to deceive you into thinking something is right when it is totally wrong. How better for him to hurt the local church than to take people like you into your living room on Sunday morning where you can minister to two or three disgruntled people when you ought to pack them in your car and take them to the nearest church and say, sign the roll, pay your tithes, and get over the hurt, glory to God. My Lord, he is the way. And the Bible still says, forsake not the assembling of yourself together after the manner of some is. You're not being spiritual. You've got a religious spirit there. You don't want to be obligated. You don't want to tie down and be committed. You want to wear your feelings on your shoulders. My friend, this is time to go. Did you see that forum the other night with the gay forum? Did you see how they got into their friend? You stay home and sleep in from church, and I'll tell you, the gays are going to take over, and the radicals are going to take. Do I love gay people? Yes, I do. But I'm telling you, my friend, we got to get on the way, and we got to not let people knock us off the way. If they love me, I'm on the way. If they hate me, I'm on the way. I don't care, come hell or high water, I'm going to be committed and dedicated. Y'all just sitting there night, and I'm getting happy. Uh-huh. and got a bunch of preachers talking about, well, I'm not going to preach that old Pentecostal stuff. People don't want to hear speaking in tongues. People don't want to, you out of the way, glory to God. I'm on the Pentecostal way, praise God. I still believe in shouting. Brother, that is what this world needs, not counseling in the back room. We need old-fashioned breakthrough in the altar. I'm in the Holy Ghost way. Let me get off this hobby horse here. Amen. I mean, he said, I am the way. Number two, he said, I am the truth. The truth shall what? He said it right. Make you free. Didn't say set you free. Make you free. You see, Jesus is one of three things. He's either a liar, a lunatic, or he's Lord. Now, he said in John chapter 10, 30, and you don't have to go to the, oh, you got it? Okay. John chapter 10 and verse 30, he said, I and my Father are one. He said that. Now, either that's true, or he's escaped from the insane asylum and thinks it, and it's not true, or he's just bold-faced lying. In John 8, 58, Jesus said unto them, verily, verily, I say unto you, before Abraham was, I am. Woo, that's another I am right there, tucked in there. I told you it's not all of the I am statements. Before Abraham was, I am. Now, either it was true, or he was a lulu and thinking it was true and it wasn't true, or he was just lying. John chapter 4, verse 25 through 26. The woman said unto him, I know that Messiah is coming, which shall be called Christ. When he has come, he will tell us all these things. Now look at verse 26. Jesus said unto her, I that speak unto thee am he. He said, ma'am, I'm that Messiah that you're looking for. You've been married five times and now you're living together with a man who won't take you to the altar, but take you to the bedroom. He said, I'll take you to the throne of God. I am the way, the truth, and the life. I am the Messiah. All your hopes and dreams, all your forgiveness. He either was or he wasn't. We got John chapter 5 and 18. Therefore, the Jews sought the more to kill him, because not only had he broken the Sabbath, but he also said that God was his Father. What does that say? Making himself. Did you know those people who knock on your door with those pamphlets in their hands? You know, people say, well, we got to be nice to that. I'm not nice to false doctrine. I'm nice to people. But I'm not letting them in my house. I'm not going to let them. I have a stewardship of not only mercy, but I also have a stewardship of my house. And I'm not letting people in my house because they don't teach that he's equal to God. They teach that he was created by God. Jesus, you know what I'm talking about? They knock on your door. They have little pamphlets. And, oh, they seem to be nice people. They're deceived people. It's a demonic false spirit. It's false religion. And you say, well, preacher, you're making me mad. I got people. I know they're good people. I know they're going to heaven. You cannot go to heaven if you don't believe the gospel. Boy, I got in trouble big time one time preaching about certain religions that ride the bicycle and have the little badges on. And I laid it out, and come to find out half the church was kinned, about half of them down there. Boy, they called me quick like and said, I need to tone it down. I just preached it harder. I didn't stay at that church very long, by the way. Just want you to know. Well, they can have that religion if they want it, and if they want that, because I'm telling you, I am called to tell the truth. I don't let them people into my house. I will tell them quick like, I don't appreciate your doctrine. You're being combative. Does this man, when he went to Vietnam, do you think he went over there and had a cup of coffee with the Viet Cong? No, sir. He pulled out that gun and he said, let's do business. Either surrender or I'm going to send you on. Amen. Now, I'm not telling you to kill him with an AK-47. I'm not telling you that. But I'm telling you that spirit. I'm going crazy tonight. Pastor, you laid it out this morning, brother. I'm going crazy tonight. He is equal with God. God didn't make Jesus. They're Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. They are all three eternal from the beginning. You can't create Jesus Christ. He said before Abraham was, I am. He is my Father. I am equal to God. It is God the Father. He is the way and he is the truth. Do you believe the truth tonight? Them people that knock on your doors, they believe their truth is a lie. And by the way, when I went to the courthouse to serve on jury duty, they were sitting out there talking to people. When are we Pentecostals going to become soul winners? When are we going to knock on some doors? When are we going to tell people at our job? Amen. Another sermon for another day. He said, I am the way. I am the truth. He's either a liar or is a lunatic or he's just lucked up. Somebody said he just got lucky. So he just got lucky and fed 5,000 people. That was a stroke of luck, wasn't it? You ladies, you can't even hardly cook for 10 people and three more show up and you're about to have a cow. Amen. I know you're panicking past appreciation already. How the hell are we going to have enough? And the Lord will do. I'm telling you, he fed the 5,000 with just a few loaves and fish. He just got lucky and touched the casket of a woman's son who died. And boom, he rose from the dead. He just got lucky and walked on water. Oh, he just got lucky. And the 800 prophets, 800, somebody say 800. 800 prophecies before his birth told exactly where he would be born, where he would be buried, how he would be killed, where he would die, and that he would rise again. And he could no way. Now, I could fulfill some prophecies if I know them after the fact, but there's no way I could. If somebody prophesied 300 years ago that I'd be born at Nash General Hospital in Rocky Mount, first of all, Nash General didn't exist. Probably Rocky Mount didn't exist. But brother, I couldn't manufacture that. I was born when I was born, where I was born, and it just happened to be luck that he was born at the right place. No, friend, he's not a liar. He's not a lunatic. He's not lucky. He's the Lord of Lords. He is the way, the preach him, love him, tell him, get on fire for him. Amen. Josh McDowell said in his book, Evidence That Demands a Verdict, he said, if Jesus was not God, then he deserves an Oscar. Somebody say that he's not a liar. He's not lucky. He's not lunatic. He is Lord. Somebody say he's Lord. Somebody say he's my Lord. He's the way. He's the truth. He's the life. Turn around and tell somebody, get a life. Amen. Get a life. The Greek word for life is zoe. It is used 36 times in the Gospel of John. I love the Gospel of John. Which is more times than it is used in the other three Gospels combined. We have met the word life in the I am statements that we have already considered. For Jesus is the bread of life. Amen. He is the light of life and the world. He's the shepherd who lays down his life for the sheep. He is the resurrection and the and he is the way and the truth and the. To the Christian believer, life is not merely a physical condition or social experience. Life is a person, and that person is Jesus Christ. Colossians 3 and 4 talks about when Christ, who is our life. And Philippians 1 and 21, for me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. You see, when we get in Jesus is really when we get a life. And if you don't have Jesus, you don't have a life. I'm just going to be honest with you. I know you may be a billionaire. I know you might have all the, I think of Hugh Hefner, and he died recently, and he lived in that mansion surrounded by beautiful women. And where's he at tonight? He didn't have the life, did he? He did not have the life. You know, I'm not a car mechanic at all. If your car breaks down, don't call me. Now, I might can help you with your cell phone, but I can't help you with your car. And don't you know, and here it is getting cold, and you wake up and you're in a hurry, and you got to get to work, you got to get to church, you got to get somewhere, and you put the key into the ignition, and you turn the key, and click, click, and that car is... You probably just had it clean. I know I keep mine clean. I don't know about y'all. I don't like dust on my car. I'm telling you right now, it's anathema. I want that car clean and shiny for Jesus. And there it is, shiny. And the tire, I got brand new tires on the car. Got two on the front, two on the back. Got Michelins on the front and sub on the back. I can't afford all four Michelins, but I got my CD player. I got my MP3 player. I got leather seats. I got that car is good to go. Oh, glory. Hallelujah. We love our cars, don't we? And house, I mean, it looks good. It's got the tires. It's got a knot. You open the hood. It's got a big motor there. It's got 8 cylinders. V8 power, baby. I don't want V4. I don't want V6. That's nothing. I want to put on that gas and be like the Millennium Falcon. I want to go to light speed. In fact, I pass some of y'all to church sometimes. But you put that key in and click it, you don't do a thing. What's the matter? What's the matter, church? There's a battery there, right? The battery's dead. And that car ain't going nowhere. That car didn't have life. And there you go. Pull the battery out. Put the battery back in. Hook it up to the connections. Turn on that key, and brother, you're on your way. Amen. And I'm telling you, without Jesus Christ, without the Holy Spirit, I don't care how great our buildings are, I don't care how pretty we are, I don't care what we do, if we don't have Jesus, if we don't have the anointing, if we don't have the Holy Spirit, if we don't have the touch from heaven, and we can be pretty, we can have it, all the trappings, but we're not going anywhere. We need the life of God. We need the life in our church. We need the life in our witness. We need our batteries charged and overflowing. We don't need to backslide and let, you know, the battery when it sits out there to get cold, and these are going to be some cold nights coming up here in the winter, and your battery's got to be checked. It's got to be able to handle that. If not, we won't go anywhere. How many of you have the life in your life tonight? How many of you know his name? Do you have the Zoe life tonight? Give him a hand of praise here tonight. I got a life. Amen. Somebody say, he's the way, he's the truth, and he's the life. Would you stand with me tonight? Amen. The I am statement. The I am statement. I want to ask the pastor to come, and we're going to have an altar call, because I want you to get charged in your battery tonight. I want the life of God to be in your spirit tonight. That's what church is. It's recharging that battery. And I also want you to pray tonight to be a witness, to tell people when they come up and say, well, all religions are the same. Or you have your, that's what, in my opinion, I feel that we're not based. I'm glad to know when you're dying, you don't want opinions. You need to know the way, the truth, and the life. Amen. I want you to pray for people. But I heard about a man one time. He purchased, a little statue of Jesus at a store one time. He purchased it. And it was actually an auction. And he put it on his desk in the den. A few days later, His wife moved the statue to a table in the living room. And he didn't want it in the living room, so he took the little statue, and the little kids kind of watching it, he took the statue and put it back in the den. And so the kids were watching one day, and Mom came through. And Mom put it back in the living room. That's where she wanted it. And a day or so later, the kids were in there, and Daddy came in, and he saw the statue of Christ in the living room. He looked at it, and he looked at the kids, and the kids said, Daddy, what are you going to do with Jesus now? I want to ask you tonight, church, what are you going to do with Jesus now? Are you going to serve him? Are you going to keep going all the way for the Lord? Would you step out of your seat and come? And I want you to charge your battery tonight. Would you just step out of your seat? Let's close at the altar. Pastor, I'm going to play the piano. But I want you to let the life of God, the Zoe life of yes. God, hallelujah, to flow through you tonight. Lord, we bless you. Yes. And Lord, we praise you tonight. We bless glory your name. You are the way. You are the truth. Yes. You are the life, oh God.
Hallelujah. God, for the life that we have. I want
the I am
prayer team to gather around Brother Bud Tedder here. Sister Clara Jones, I want you to come. I want to give y'all some anointing oil. I want y'all to anoint these two people. We got life. We got the Zoe of God. And come here, prayer team, take this oil. Some of you ladies anoint Sister Clara. I visited her brother Clarence today, Clarence McLean. I visited him in the home there. And I want you all to anoint them. I visited Sister Joan Tedder in the hospital. She's stable. Her heart is back in rhythm now. And these people both need miracles from God. Jesus is the way.
Yes.
He is the truth. He is the life. Zoe, eternal life. That in Him is life. Not just physical life like we're born with. Not the mental Suki life. But the Zoe, the eternal life of God. And we need an eternal touch, Father. And we just praise You that Jesus, that the cross of Christ,
it's Your bread.
His cross declares our victory. Our I lay my hand as we so gather around these tremendous need here, Father. We bless Sister Joan Tedder. We bless Clarence, Lord. And Lord, He's just a bag of bones left. But Lord, to You, Your life. Woo! Glory. We release the miracle-working power of God, Lord. And I looked at Sister Joan, Lord, and her little body, Lord, how she needs strength and she needs some weight back on her body, Lord. And Lord, we just praise You that You said, call upon Me, I will answer You, I will show You great and mighty things. Restoration, glory to God, restoration. You're the God of restoration. You're the God of glory. Come in and gather around. Lay your hands on. Be afraid to lay your hands on
it's
the other people.
Bread.
Hallelujah. Lay your hands on the person next to you. Let's get the Spirit. All of the life of God is put in all of us. Put your hand on the person next to you. Come up. Come on up. Put your hand. Let's put hands and make a chain that connects. Glory to God. Come on, Brother Doug. Put your hand on the shoulder beside you. Hallelujah.
Yes.
Glory to God. We release life. The law of the Spirit of life that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. In Him was life. Hallelujah. The light shined into the darkness. The darkness could not extinguish that light. Hallelujah. Glory to God. We praise You, Lord, that You are the truth.